Today we do continue with our sermon series with a focus on what I'm calling the gift of a public witness. Jesus demonstrated through his own example that a life of faith is not merely a private matter. What happens in our hearts should flow outward, shaping the way we live and act in this world. Now, today's scripture reading from the Gospel of Matthew, it comes from the fifth chapter there, and it's part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. In that sermon, Jesus spoke at length on the kinds of behaviors and actions that his followers should be known for. And he started this off with two metaphors, salt and light, which can help us think about how we can express our faith in public ways. So if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open to the fifth chapter of Matthew. I'll read verses 13 through 20, and the words will also appear on the screen. Again, our scripture is Matthew 5, verses 13 through 20. Let's listen now to our scripture. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen. The Bible is filled with apparent contradictions when it comes to what we do in public. For instance, there are times when Jesus ordered people to not talk about the miracles they witnessed. He wanted them to keep it private. And then there are other moments when he sent his followers out with a clear mandate to feed people, to heal them, and to free them from their bondage, which are all very public acts of faith. These contradictions point us toward a tension that we feel. In an increasingly secular world, we wonder when, how, and where we should express our faith. When is the right time? How should we do this? And where should we be public with our faith? Of course, there's no simple answer to these questions. There's no one way to express our faith. There's no one time to act on our faith. Of course, there are some people who will argue that we shouldn't make a public witness to our faith because they think we might offend someone, or we might be misunderstood, or our message might get misconstrued. And yet, Scripture tells us that we have good news to share because of Jesus Christ. Now, today's Scripture reading from Matthew invites us to reflect on what our public witness should look like. But before we dive into this Scripture, I would like us to try to better understand the context in which Jesus preached his Sermon on the Mount. Now, this sermon was not an attempt to simply give people a set of ethics to live by. It was more than that. In preaching this sermon, Jesus was entering a larger debate concerning the direction Israel should take. See, at the time, Israel was occupied by the Roman Empire. Of course, this wasn't a new experience for the people of Israel because they had dealt with occupiers before. They had been controlled by outside empires since the Babylonian exile. But in this latest iteration, the Romans were the ones who controlled Israel's land. They controlled the capital city, Jerusalem. They even controlled their temple. Now, this situation raised lots of questions for the people of Israel. They wondered how God's holy city of Jerusalem and the temple itself could be occupied territory. What did this say about their relationship to God? And what did God want them to do? How did God want them to respond? Now, different factions within Israel had their own responses to these questions. And their responses range from open collaboration with the Romans to taking up weapons and fighting against the Romans. And this latter option was popular among some of the Pharisees, but even they were divided. Some Pharisees preferred militant action, while others realized that Israel was too small to fight against the powerful army of Rome. And so this group of Pharisees steered people towards a more private faith of study and devotion. And I think this is where Jesus entered the conversation with his Sermon on the Mount. He challenged Israel to be Israel, to live like God's people. Now, the Pharisees were correct in that private and personal study are essential, but so are public expressions of faith. Question is, how do we do this? Of course, there's no one way to make a public witness to your faith. But Jesus addressed this matter by talking about salt and light, which are two things we all need. Now, we often think of salt as a seasoning that we use to add flavor to our foods. But historically, it had many other uses. Now, before the days of refrigeration and canning, salt was used as a preservative. People could expand the range of foods that showed up on their dinner table by adding salt to fruits and vegetables and meats, preserving them, keeping them from rotting. Salt was also used for disinfecting wounds, making pottery, and in some places it was even used as an alternative currency. Salt was a valuable commodity. People in the ancient world needed it. And its widespread use made for big business. You know, people made a living by hauling sacks of salt from mines into marketplaces. And armies used their power to secure and protect supplies of salt for their people. Salt was valuable. Salt was useful because it proved to be a blessing in numerous ways. When Jesus used salt as a metaphor in his sermon, he was making the point that those who belong to him, those who follow in his footsteps, are like salt. They're useful. They're valuable. They bring blessings to others. In fact, they make life tasty because they're bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. Now, each of us has the ability to be a blessing to others by reflecting God's kingdom through the way we live. The goodness of God can be seen in the way that we love our enemies, the way we feed the hungry, the way we strive to keep our promises, and so much more. We are witnesses for God when we live as a sign of God's presence in the world. Now, Jesus calls us to be salt because we exist for other people. We exist to be a blessing to our world, which is why we really should live out our faith in public ways. Jesus also said that we can make a public witness to our faith by living like light. In verses 14 and 16, he said, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid, No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, he says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Like salt, light doesn't exist for its own benefit. Light exists for the benefit of everything that it illuminates. Light provides warmth and energy to the world around it. Light encourages life and growth. Light enables us to see more clearly so that we can know where we need to go. Now, Jesus wants us to shine our light before others, and that means we're called to do whatever we can to be lights to each other and to the world around us. Now, sometimes we can be like a lighthouse, guiding people in the direction they need to go. Sometimes we can be like a spotlight, bringing attention to where good things are happening. Sometimes we can be like a bright, roaring fire that warms people up and brings encouragement. There are countless ways that we can be light. And we shine light in the world when we are open and honest instead of hiding in the darkness of lies, conspiracy theories, and other untruthful things. We shine light when we help people in their time of need. We shine light when we work for the good of other people, no matter who they are. We shine light when we meet hatred with love. We shine light when we support each other so that we together can advance the mission of Jesus Christ. We are called to shine light because of the prevalence of darkness. Now, every day it seems like we hear another story of someone acting in an evil way. And people can do some of the most despicable things to each other. But of course, there are other forms of darkness. There's death and destruction, loneliness and isolation, as well as ignorance and blindness to the plight of others. And the experience of darkness is often described as one of hopelessness. Our challenge as followers of Jesus is to shine light and to help others see what a life of hope and faithfulness looks like. Our challenge is really to be beacons of love and peace and reconciliation in a world that's full of conflict. And Jesus says that if we perform good works like the ones I've described, people will see them and they will give glory to your Father in heaven. The Pharisees, I want to go back to them for a minute, they thought they were glorifying God through their private devotional life. They studied Scripture more than anyone else. They could quote chapter and verse, and they strictly observed its laws. But they were unable to see beyond the letter of the law, which kept them from living like salt and light. Jesus respected their passion for the law, and he even thought their teaching was sound. But he criticized their failure to put that into action. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus said, "Do whatever they teach you and follow it, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach." I think the Pharisees tried to be good people, but they failed to connect their inner spiritual and religious life with public expressions of faith. And Jesus made it clear that there are times when we are called out into the world to bear a public and powerful witness to Christ. We're called to live like salt and light. We're called to acts of love, justice, kindness, and mercy, which really is the fulfillment of the words of the prophet Micah. Micah 6:8 says, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. If we're not living like this, then we're paying lip service to a faith that so clearly calls us to both private and public expressions of faith. And the failure to do both is problematic. And without a private devotional life, we can easily give up whenever something hard happens. And without public actions and expressions of faith, we risk becoming a bland, tasteless faith that draws fewer and fewer people and that stands directly in contradiction to the way that Jesus lived. People experience the good news through his public actions, and it's part of the reason so many people followed him. Now, I want to make it clear that living out your faith in public ways isn't about earning your way into the kingdom of heaven. It's about responding to God's grace and sharing that grace with others. It's also about being open to the ways that God might work in this world through you. But what's holding you back from expressing your faith in public? And what obstacles get in the way? Now, fear and anxiety certainly keep a lot of people from giving a public witness to their faith. But I want to encourage you to lean on your family, your friends, and mentors for help and encouragement. And remember, you're not alone in this. Together as the body of Christ, we're called to bear witness to the good news of Jesus Christ through our public actions and ministries. We're called to help each other and encourage each other. We're called to be salt and light. And when we do, we will be a blessing and a gift to each other and to the world around us. And that's what God is calling us to be. Would you pray with me? Oh God, you have called us to be salt and light. You've called us to be a blessing to the world. At times we fall short, and we let our fears drive us away from expressing our faith in public ways. We hide our faith under a basket. And so, Lord, we pray that you would forgive us and that you would guide us forward so that we might find ways to share your grace and love with every person we meet. We pray that our words and our actions will glorify you and that they will make this world a better place. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our band will lead us in a song in just a moment. As we sing, I'll be in the back of the room to receive any of you who would like to come back there and share what's on your heart. If you need prayer, I'm happy to pray with you during this time. This is a time to make new commitments to God. Maybe you feel God leading you to start a new life of discipleship today, or maybe you feel nudged to a particular ministry. And I invite you to come and share that good news with me. But let's stand now and we'll sing together our song.